The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
This is where we shove the, well, the least worst bits of the XFM Breakfast Show. I'm John Holmes, by the way, hello. Together, and then leave it on the internet. You know, as we've said before, it's sort of like audible fly tipping in a way. You just sort of leave it on the side of the internet. You can sort of come along. A lot of people just drive, go on past it, don't they?
Yeah.
Don't even give it a second look. The XFM Breakfast Show podcast. Some people call the council to have it removed. Yeah. Some people pick it up and take it home with them. And it's our intern Lucy's job. To put it all together. And before you do that, Lucy, why don't you explain to the listener what a bralette is?
A bralette? It's a top.
Well, it's a part of the top, isn't it?
It's a crop top.
Right.
And it's strappy, like I guess a bra would be, so it's a bralette.
Right. So, so you know, without wishing to come over all Dave Lee Travis, right? What happened? what happened was that Lucy arrived today, partially dressed, and this was remarked, which was mentioned. Because basically, I wanted to be a dad, and I was sort of going, "Are you all right? You're cold or something?" Yeah. I felt for
it. I have a jacket on as well.
And she said that what she was wearing is a bralette, and I'd never heard that word before.
You asked her if she was wearing a bikini top.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that's what it was. I thought, to be honest, I thought it was inappropriate to come to work in a bikini top. That's all. I was thinking, it's not that sunny, but it's not that. It's a bralette.
A bralette.
Which is fine.
It's suede as well, which is all in at the minute.
Suede bralette.
Suede bralette.
I liked their second album. Right, good. Well, good. I'm glad we've got to the bottom.
That was that, yeah.
Well, the bottom of that. Simon, producer Simon, hello. Yeah, they made an inappropriate comment about your breasts, didn't they? if there's anyone going to prison around here,
old label tucker over there, inappropriate.
We've got another work experience chap. No, he's not in a bralette. He's called Jack. Morning, Jack.
Morning.
I say morning. We're recording.
Speaking to the microphone, Jack.
Yeah, that's your lesson one. Speaking to the microphone. Yeah. What you don't know, Jack, is that Simon here, producer Simon, who you've been working with without knowing his true nature, very early on in Lucy's time here. Actually went up to her and touched her. A label was sticking out of the back of a bralette or something.
Yeah.
And Simon, rather than just mention it, decided to tuck it in himself because he was a bit OCD about it.
Jack, has he touched you since you've been here? Just pointing to this doll. Whereabouts it was.
Just point to where he touched you. Point on Lucy. Where
No comment.
Shall we do the podcast? What's in the podcast, Lucy?
Well, this week we looked at how the music industry mistreats animals. Right. Song from Hell.
Yes, good.
We found out how producer Dave's had a bad experience with the inflatable. Didn't you have one of them?
We won't talk about that. Yeah, go
ahead. We got an update on what happens on Blue Peter these days.
Yes.
We found out how John got shunned by Kelly Jones's wife, Jackie.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a good time. And we also found out if my teacher, science teacher, is dead or not.
it's all to play for. It's the XFM Breakfast Show podcast. This is it.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
It is your XFM Breakfast Show. Think of it like that hugely controversial dog meat festival in China that everyone rightly is tweeting angrily about at the moment. They eat dogs, you see, in southwest China to mark the summer solstice, the Chinese. And they eat dog meat with lychees because traditionally, they say, it staves off the summer heat. That's why they do it. To which I reply, what's wrong with a Zoom lolly? I mean, you don't eat a dog and a lychee. Or a cornetto. I tried one of those new dog meat and lychee calippos at the weekend. It was disgusting, I'll tell you that. Although still not nicer than a mini milk.
XFM.
And I was just recounting, like office chat, that sort of thing. Well, I was just minutes ago telling producer Dave here in the studio, just what I did at the weekend and stuff. And the answer to that is that my daughter was in a ballet show that she's been rehearsing for. I went to see that on Father's Day. What a treat.
Lovely.
And then afterwards, we went to the beach. Ramsgate, if we're being specific, because that happened to be where this ballet show was happening. Anyway. And I was just sort of saying, oh yeah, and they had a bouncy castle, and it was sort of, and it had a slide attached to it, but basically a very big beach inflatable style thing, which all kids were playing on. And as I said the words bouncy castle, producer Dave visibly shuddered. But he didn't really explain why. And I carried on. And I was sort of looking at him out the corner of my eye, thinking, what was that about? So I tried it again. And I said, bouncy castle. And he's visibly shuddered. And he's doing it now. What? So I asked him, why he's shuddering at the words bouncy castle? And I got this explanation.
Well, I'm petrified of bouncy castles.
What sort of person is scared of bouncy castles? Why?
It was a very young age when I was enjoying my time on a bouncy castle. I must have been 6 or 7.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, it deflated on me. And ever since that moment now, I can't... It's actually just... It's broadened out to just inflatables.
So, you've got a phobia about inflatables?
Of big inflatables,
Inflatables
that are bigger than me.
What's the cut-off point? I mean, are we talking... I mean, would you visibly shudder at, say, a blow-up doll?
No. How big is a blow-up doll?
I'm told you by the various sizes, Dave. I don't know. I don't know.
It's all to do with size.
Really?
Yeah. So if anything's, you know, a bit bigger than me that's inflatable, I have since ever being, subjected to a bouncy castle deflating on me, I struggle with
things. I'm glad you didn't use the phrase going down on you, by the way. I can see your deliberate way of doing it. Because had I gone down the inflatable doll route with that, that would sound awful. No one wants that happening. Well, anyway,
Moving on.
So, okay, so you're all right with, say, a rubber ring?
Fine with that, absolutely fine.
Right.
Beach ball?
Beach ball's all right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But go up to the scale of something you could ride on.
Yeah.
I meant like a dolphin or something.
Yeah. Or a big inflatable in a swimming pool. So how you often have those ones that
a
nearly fill... the ones that nearly fill a big swimming pool. I can't swim around that because I'm worried that it'll deflate on me.
This is just the crappiest phobia I've ever heard.
I know. I can't help it.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
Spotted. Well, spotted David Attenborough awkwardly presenting on Television X, sort of going, here in the bush we see Amber. She's 20, a female of the species, and here's Dean, 22, a pizza delivery guy. And this is very much their mating ritual.
Oh, no.
Seemingly no time for the pizza. They just begin to fornicate on the table. Morning, Dave.
Morning.
Dave's just walked into that sentence. The floor, the table, the floor, the bath. Oh, they're even doing it in there. Maybe it's Dan's birthday. The stuffed crust with extra pepperoni, now forgotten. It's David Attenborough narrating on Television X, Dave.
Oh,
you just walked in and not knowing what was going on.
That's fine, carry on.
Okay, fine. Spotted, by the way.
Spotted.
If this is your first night, you have to fight.
The XFM Breakfast Show. With John,
it's all about the timing this morning. Intern Lucy's just walked in now. Morning, Lucy.
Morning.
Morning. You've just missed David Attenborough narrating pornography on Television X, Lucy.
Oh, what?
XFM.
Here's where we give you the chance to see Maximo Park, who are playing live at the Roundhouse in Camden in November. Am I inviting you to play a game of Dead or Alive? It's very simple. We've got a list of things here that are either dead or alive. All you had to do to play for those Maximo Park tickets was text the word dead, followed by your own name in a slightly morbid way. Someone who did exactly that but isn't phased is Charlotte. She's on the telephone balancing unit, line one. Hello, Charlotte.
Hello.
Hello, how are you, Charlotte?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Good, fine, thank you for asking. So, yeah, tickets to see Maximo Park. Very quickly before we play the game, Charlotte, what do you do? What do you do? Where are you? What do you do?
I am a resourcing coordinator and I live in Farnborough.
I see. And what company do you do that for?
It's Kinetics, it's a technology company.
Oh, yes, I know. Yes, working across 4 key markets, defence, security and aerospace are the 3 key, but a growing position in select commercial markets.
The very one.
Yeah, you've got technical expertise, haven't you? The know-how and rigorous independent thinking. Uniquely placed to help customers meet challenges in defence and security throughout the modern world, Charlotte, aren't you?
Exactly right.
That's right, good, thought so. Anyway, out of all of the defence and aerospace and security companies, I think Kintec are my favourite.
Yeah.
Can't even pronounce it. Anyway. Anyway, so this is a game of dead or alive, Charlotte. So you just have to tell me from a list of things what's dead and what's alive. Is that clear? Of course it is.
That's clear.
Okay, Dave's going to keep score then. All right, here we go. So, dead or alive. XFM newsreader Matt Dyson's terrapin. Is it dead or is it alive?
I'm hoping alive.
No, it's dead. As we learned last week, he killed it by accident because he fed it prawn cocktail skips.
Oh, dear.
I know. Dead or alive, Mo Farah's doorbell batteries. Dead or alive?
Alive?
Well, if they are, they're very quiet, so I'm going to say dead, as he didn't hear his drug testers at the door. Dead or alive, the homeless man outside my local Sainsbury's. Dead or alive? I think Charlotte's dropped off.
The game was too much.
I think Charlotte might be dead.
Don't say that.
She might be. Well, she works in defence. It's possible. I mean, anything could happen. I don't know. Dave's just trying to get her back very quickly. We're just talk amongst ourselves. Well, I'll tell you something. You're playing her place, yeah.
Okay.
The homeless man outside my local Sainsbury's.
Alive.
Well, we're not sure, to be honest. The usually fairly vocal man is in pursuit of drugs and booze, but was lying very still on Saturday under his sleeping bag. Mm. So he might have shuffled off to the pavement in the sky. So I'm going to give. I hope not as well, but I'm saying he might have done. I'm going to give Charlotte half a point for that.
Okay.
Next one. Intern Lucy's old science teacher, Mr. Buckley. Dead or alive?
Alive.
Yes, and we know this because Lucy awkwardly bumped into him last week in Anne Summers.
Incredible.
Producer Simon's right hand, dead or alive?
Dead.
He slept on it awkwardly, he says. Yeah, right. And now he can't hold a pen this morning. The man I see cycling to work every morning without a helmet, dead or alive?
Alive.
Yes, as of this morning, certainly, but I'm tempted genuinely to stop and ask him for his holiday dates, as I don't want to worry about him unnecessarily. Yeah. And finally, Santa playing on behalf of Charlotte. The inside of Muse.
Dead.
Is the right answer. Congratulations!
Yay!
Slash Charlotte. Producer Dave, what did the score?
I don't know
because you were trying to fix the computer and it didn't work, so anyway. There we go. Charlotte, if you are able to hear this, we will call you back, don't worry, when the phone works again. Well, congratulations, you're going to see Maximo Park, Charlotte! Cheer on her behalf, Santa.
Woo!
Thank you.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
Crap phobias. We learned earlier that producer Dave here in the studio has a phobia of bouncy castles because one once deflated on him as a child. So this morning, I thought no one could have a crapophobia in that, but people can, it turns out. Well, I'm just curious. This is a good point from Chris, who's in a van. If Dave was on a plane that made an emergency landing, would he use the big inflatable slide raft, or would he take his chances and stay on board? Because that is big, and that is a size of... You would be scared of that. Where do you stand on emergency raft slides?
I've never had to come across one before. I would like to think that I would get over my phobia and use the raft to save my life.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, there you go, Chris. You'd wondered, and now you have the answer. Yeah. And then Chris adds, also, a friend of mine is deathly scared of baked beans. He doesn't trust them. Says there's too many of them. XFM. And the Chaff News Desk already open for business for another week. If you haven't heard it before, if you're just joining us, the Chaff News Desk is, well, it does you a favour, because what it does is take the tabloid tickle-tackle from out of those dirty newspapers. And, we sort of put it beyond use, really. The stories that aren't stories are examined in the Chaff News Desk. And as I mentioned earlier, sort of, if you imagine it as some sort of whale shark sieving through this hat with a baleen made of Sunter. Weirdest sentence I've ever said, I'd say. Think of yourself, Sunter, as the knitted together comb-like structure in a whale's mouth.
Okay.
And you have to sieve through the tabloid news stories that aren't stories.
Right.
And bring them to us. Social ammunition for the socially challenged. That's what it is.
Okay.
What have we this morning?
Okay, starting off with S Club 7's Hannah Spirit and Paul Catamol are back together.
Right. Were they? We can assume they were a thing.
They were a thing. Okay. Yeah. There was 5 years of a roller coaster of emotions between the two. John walked out of the S Club. The band split. There was a love split, then a band reunion. But now Hannah and Paul are firmly back on.
Right.
Only thing is, she was actually engaged to someone else. She's left her fiancé, Adam Thomas.
To go back to the man from S Club 7. Coincidentally, I think S Club 7 have reformed and are going on tour again.
Yeah.
Do you think this... I mean, call me a cynic, but do you think maybe this is a story designed to just get them into front of the tabloids to sell some tickets to their upcoming shows?
No.
They wouldn't do that, would they? Wouldn't be so shallow, would they?
No.
Dumping... Surely not. What else there? What do we know? What do we know?
Well, apparently, Adam says he's quite shocked that she has got back together with Paul because she wasn't that nice about him, saying that he was so fat he could hardly dance.
Well, it's to be fair, I have seen some photographs of them, and not that I would have recognised Paul, what's his name? Catamol. Him. But it was a picture of her, who I did recognise, because quite like her, standing, I'll be honest, standing next to a fat man. And it turns out he was one of S Club 7. And then I looked at a picture of him when he was in S Club 7. He's unrecognisable. It's like what the modern S Club 7 man has eaten the old one. He's enormous. Have you seen him? He's enormous. So it will be interesting watching him haul his porky self around the stage like the old days. No, I'm with the dumped guy. She's gone back to fat bloke just to sell tickets, and I think that's I'd say I'd gone off her for that, but I haven't.
Actually. Yeah.
I quite like her. Anyway, what else have we got from the Sheffield News Desk?
Paul Daniels, happy birthday video messages, yours for just £25.
Right, go on.
That's great news, isn't it? The magician will record you a personalised video with his wife and assistant, Debbie McGee.
Of course.
And he has Twitter linked to his page on a special website. It's a great way for fans and celebrities to connect in a unique and fun way.
£25, you say?
Yep.
Right, okay.
Great for gifts for birthdays.
It is. It's just Paul and Debbie in this video, is it?
Just Paul and Debbie.
In this particular video?
Yes.
That we're talking about?
Yes.
Right, just checking. just looking at producer Dave's face as he shakes his head to steer me away from the other video of Paul Daniels and Debbie McGee. That they might be, apparently. £25, you say? What a snip.
Yeah.
What a bargain.
It's a bargain.
Half the price. Good. Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm just going to step away from it, frankly. Yeah. Just don't Google it. Don't Google it. Dave just did. Got a terrible shock.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
And today on the programme, then, well, I'll be honest with you, we're just going to do whatever Taylor Swift tells us to do. Turns out she's in charge of everything now. So we're just sitting here waiting for a letter from her to tell us what's going to happen on today's show. Letter's not arrived yet, but I mean, she's busy, isn't she? Because she's also sorting out the new Top Gear lineup and the Greek bailout. So she's, she's sorting everything out. She's busy, Taylor Swift. Phobias this morning. We learned earlier that producer Dave, good morning producer Dave.
Morning.
Has a phobia of bouncy castles because one deflated on him as a child. I thought that was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard. However, it turns out not because there are many, many ridiculous phobias out there. This is excellent from Hayley. Hi, Hayley. Morning, John. I have had a genuine phobia of things swinging. Right, bear with me.
Okay.
If something is hanging above me and it swings, I genuinely have a sweaty meltdown. Well, wow, the hen nights are appalling. it's mostly lights. Oh, I see. But if anything that looks like it might have swing potential, I panic. I have no idea where this came from.
Wow.
That's Hayley this morning. I have a phobia of mayonnaise, says Maria in Essex. My husband loves mayonnaise, so I do have to deal with it being in the house, but if I get it on me, I freak out. I don't trust the way it starts off white and dries clear. we're talking about mayonnaise. Anyway. What have you got there, Santa?
This is from Laura, who says, I generally dislike carpet, but if I have to go near a hairy, coarse doormat, then I feel really queasy. If you wipe your feet on it, I'll vomit. No idea why, but needless to say, as soon as I mention this, friends will actively seek out a doormat to rub their feet on and watch me be sick.
Kyle has a phobia of sponge unless it's wet. So dry sponge, then. I can't touch it unless it's wet, says Kyle. So... Well, you should wash up, I suppose. I have a friend, says Kelly, who is afraid of buttons. She will genuinely run if you chase her wearing something with buttons, and she only buys clothes with zips. Santa, what have you got?
Sarah says, I have a phobia of plasters. This causes problems with my children when they hurt themselves. I can't actually go into the detail because it's making me feel a bit sick.
A lot of people vomiting because of this. John, I'm terrified of large industrial structures involving air and water, gas towers, wells, waterworks, etc. When I see one, it's like someone's just walked over my grave. I used to live in Streatham and could see the Victorian pumping station, which looks like a creepy mosque, out of my bedroom window. I rarely open my curtains, says Emmy in Camden. Thanks so much. And this is, has it got a name on it? Look, John, I have a crippling, awful phobia of dead people. Sounds normal and harmless, yes. Probably would be if I wasn't a doctor. It's, you know, very, very awkward when it's my job to check they are, you know, dead. What a ridiculous profession.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
People often say, what do radio people do? You know, when the music's on, what do you do in the studio? And the answer to that is, of course, do Big Fish, Little Fish, Cardboard Box to travel bed music.
XFM.
Time for XFM's Song from Hell.
XFM's Song from Hell.
Now this, if you're a regular listener, is where, as you will know, with your help, we sew together crap bits of songs to create the ultimate musical monster. Come with us now to the toppermost tower of XFM, where the creature is stirring. So last week, we had examples of the awful and terrible mistreatment of animals in songs, and chastised those responsible. For instance, we heard of Rolf Harris.
Tie me kangaroo down, sport. Tie me kangaroo down. Tie me kangaroo down, sport. Tie me kangaroo down.
Arguably not his worst crime, but terrible nonetheless. And then, mud! What do you need tiger feet for? The use of tiger parts in Chinese medicine is inhumane and proven to have no medicinal value. And as for REM, that's just cruel because you can't get them back down again because elephants can't see the ground at their feet and the design of their hips and knees make it hard to shift their weight backwards, which would stop them tumbling headlong down the steps. Stupid REM. Mm. There are so many suggestions. So many suggestions coming in for these that we rolled it over. So it is the terrible mistreatment of animals in songs. 83936. Alex FM, Santa, what have you got there?
I would like to bring to the table Ugly Kid Joe and Cats in the Cradle.
Yes. Well, I mean, that doesn't need much explanation. Putting a cat in a cradle and then...
And then giving it a spoon.
Yeah, but why?
No reason.
Why? Just don't put it in a cradle. It could fall out and injure its little kitten self. So, yes. So Ugly Kid Joe. I've got a problem with Florence, right? Mm. Because, yes, she's headlining Glastonbury. Yes, right? But it turns out her machine, right, is one she uses to fuse animal hybrids together, like a sort of rudimentary Island of Dr. Moreau. Because she fully admits to experimenting with humans and animals. Listen. And she's put it in herself with a machine, like on an evil island, like Dr. Moroni experiment on the hybrid. And she's like finished there. She's not happy with just doing it to rabbits, now she wants to do it with lions.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
And today on the programme then, we are asking you to do your bit to help Greece. Now, the country is, well, it's essentially the former sovereign state equivalent of the bloke that gets on the tube and asks you for spare change so he can get a cup of tea and a night in a hostel while you ignore him and stare at the floor. So this morning, we've got a polystyrene cup marked Greek bailout, and if you can give so that Greece can get a cup of tea and a night in a hostel, then please do. £330 billion. If we all or give a pound. Well, it still wouldn't touch the sides, actually, would it? But
XFM. XFM's Song from Hell.
This morning, poorly treated animals in songs. We chastise the musicians for their thoughtless and terrible behaviour. Now, there's no name on this one, but it's a suggestion that's come in. What about America's Horse with No Name?
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name.
Yes!
It felt good to be out of the rain.
Well, it might have felt good for you, but what about the horse? As it says here on the text that suggested it, a horse with no name. You should always give your horse a name. Otherwise, you'll never bond with it. And I mean, you ride all the way across a desert, which is not, by the way, good for a horse, and you don't even utter a name for it once. Mental cruelty, this person writes. Oh, that's correct. What have you got, Santa?
Rachel's been in touch to suggest Prince, When Doves Cry.
This is what it sounds like when doves cry.
I don't want to hear what it sounds like. I don't want to hear what it sounds like. What's he doing making them cry?
Oh, poor doves.
Was he making them cry anyway? Shame on him. Shame on Prince. There's a lot of monkey action. It's probably not the first time this sentence has been said. There's a lot of monkey action from George Michael. Right, it's quite hard to hear that, right? But what he actually says was, why do I have to do it? Why do I have to share my baby with a monkey? It just beggars me. What's he talking about? That's cruel, isn't it? Keeping a monkey in a sort of weird love triangle with George Michael. That's just weird.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
We like to welcome friend of the show, the High Priest Vexen Le Crowley. He's from the Temple of Mephistopheles in Hendon. The reason he comes in on a Thursday, well, because we are editorially balanced here at XFM. We're not like other breakfast programmes that have a sort of pause for thought, that kind of thing, where they give you the opportunity to, you know, step out of the busy rat race and contemplate your spiritual side. They all do it, don't they? A pause for thought, and a vicar comes in, doesn't he, or a rabbi or an imam, and they tenuously link an anecdote from their lives to whatever deity they believe in. And we're no different, except we cater for a market hitherto uncatered for, i.e. people who worship the devil. Here he is then, the High Priest Vexen Le Crowley, with his thought for the day for Satanists.
Good morning. Now, what a week. I am thrilled to say that I have been nominated for Satanist of the Year 2015, which is obviously a huge honour. And I'm particularly excited about the ceremony, which is just like a TV awards ceremony, but with much less bitchiness, backbiting and general spitefulness. On hearing I'd been nominated, my heart swelled with pride. Because I'm brilliant. But reading down the invitation, black tie, black robes, blackened rotting skull of a dead goat, I noticed that in the RSVP I should let the organisers know of any dietary requirements. And then I thought, Satan is a lot like that, isn't he? For in the same way that some people may avoid certain foods due to ethical or religious beliefs, or medical, of course. Honestly, if my wife lets anyone's nuts anywhere near her mouth, she breaks out in hives. Then, so Mephistopheles can ruin a person's day by also turning up unexpectedly. But while the effect of food allergies on the stomach is generally something to be avoided, Satanists relish the rogue angel's attempt to grasp their soul and invite him to use them to bring misery to humanity. And that's why, last night, at around midnight, I popped along to the local primary school where I smeared thick peanut butter on all the door handles and playground swings and so forth. Anywhere I thought there was a chance a kid with an allergy might touch. I even used the crunchy stuff with the bits of actual nuts in, just to make sure. And then I waited in the bushes till morning to watch the results. Unfortunately, at around 8:30 a.m., I was spotted crouching behind a hedge, peanut butter all over my fingers, by a parent who called the police. My protestations that I wasn't a pervert, but was simply there to watch a child swell up when he or she touched a nut-buttered roundabout, fell on deaf ears. Honestly, it's political correctness gone mad. And that should give us all something to think about.
Oh, Congratulations to the High Priest Vexander Crowley on his nomination as Satanist of the Year. That was his thought for the day for Satanists.
XFM.
And on the programme this morning, if you're not going to Glastonbury, then don't worry, because we're giving away a trip to France. That's right. All you have to do is stow away on or in a lorry going from Dover to Calais. And that should be easy, because I don't think anyone's checking the lorries that are going that way. And if they are, it's certainly not been on the news. So you're easily getting to France. They're all busy checking people trying to get out. So the XFM Breakfast Show trip to France. Transport not included. Winners will have to make their own way. They're hidden under some tarpaulin.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
This is where we go through the day's papers for you and pull out the stories that aren't stories. The showbiz gossip, they get sieved on the chaff news desk and separated from the actual proper news, of course, which is the news of wheat. This is the chaff. And this morning, it's all about... It's all about people. It's all about inside people.
Yeah.
What have you got first, man?
First, Susanna Reid's breakfast is making the headlines. This is that newsreader on Good Morning Britain, the show that no one watches on ITV in the morning.
Yes.
The big deal's made about the fact that when they came back to her in the studio on a wide shot, you could see a plate with her breakfast on the floor just next to her desk.
Right, I see, yes.
So, like, oh, wow, she actually eats breakfast. Well, I never. During the ad breaks, she eats breakfast.
I'd actually really misunderstood this story, because I saw the shot, the story that said wide shot where you can see Susanna Reid's breakfast. And I'll be honest, I very much got the wrong end of the stick. Now it makes sense, because I thought that was a very offensive thing to do on a morning television programme. So.
You'll have to do anything to get the ratings now.
Well, they will, won't they?
Like, right, yeah. Get your breakfast
out. Any stupid idea, let's toss it out there, get the ratings. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So,
right, so basically, but what you're telling me is on the television, had I switched the television on yesterday morning, I would have seen a shot of Susanna Reid's kipper. Is that what she had for breakfast?
But
do we know?
We don't know what it was. I couldn't quite see what was on the plate, but there was definitely a plate. But she sneakily, as she was sat at the desk, at the news desk, she sort of got her foot and sort of leant behind her and nudged it back under the desk with her foot.
But it was in full view.
Yeah, but everyone could see it. She eats breakfast. Well, fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating stuff, yeah.
You should see what's on our desk here in this studio.
I have to move, in case the webcam picks it up, I have to move it every morning. Yeah. Honestly, the stuff Rich Walters leaves lying around, you wouldn't believe it.
Oh.
You have to just push it out of the way. God, you wouldn't.
Cans of Monster Energy drinks everywhere.
Hippie crack doesn't even begin to cut.
Believe you. Those canisters and old balloons lying around.
Well, I hope that's what they are anyway. What else have you got?
Wow. And it gets weirder, because a Blue Peter presenter is going to reveal the inside of his stomach live on TV later on. He's going to swallow a pill containing a tiny camera. Radzi Chinyangyanya.
Nicely pronounced that.
I don't think I've got that right.
I think that was racist.
I don't know. Look, it's a hard name to pronounce, right? He's a wacky-haired TV presenter. He's 27.
Racist?
No, it's not. And he's taking this capsule.
Yeah.
And then CBBC viewers will watch it travel through his body.
That's going to frighten children. That's not the right thing to do at all.
Sounds horrific. So I dread to think what happens at the end of the show when they say goodbye. It's like... It completes the journey, perhaps.
Well, yeah, just a sort of, thank you for watching, goodbye.
XFM.
Sad news overnight, so we'll be paying tribute to the Avengers star Patrick McNee this morning, who's died, sadly. It's on the front of every newspaper. We're going to be wearing bowler hats in the studio, Matt and I, this morning. And to make the tribute complete, what we're going to do, just like the real Avengers and what they did with it, after the show's finished, then later on, we're going to remake it with Gareth Hunt and Joanna Lumley, aren't we? So,
nice.
Yeah, in a sort of confusing way, that's nowhere near as good as well. Gareth Hunt, of course, rhyming slang for Keith Lemon.
The XFM break. Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
So last night then, at the Hammersmith Club in, Hammersmith, you'll doubtless be aware that Mr. Paul Weller was in conversation with John Kennedy in front of an audience who paid good money for charity. If you'd like, it sold out very quickly, of course. If you'd like to hear In Conversation with Paul Weller, also including Kelly Jones out of Off of Stereophonics, Clint Boone, etc., then you can download it as an audiobook. I think I'm right in saying it's already available. If you go to xfm.co.uk, yes, you'll find very quick turnaround. Someone stayed up all night to get that together.
Producer Neil, slaving away.
But I was there. I had to come on stage and do the nuts and bolts. I mean, John Kennedy did the work. I just had to come and basically warn people about fire exits or something.
You were the warm-up guy.
Basically, I was. If indeed you can call chat about when the bar was going to close and some fire exits warm-up, yeah, then yes, I was. But of course, it did mean that I got to. I was sort of hanging out backstage, as you do, very showbiz. And I prefer to be backstage, I'll be honest, because I was quite frightened of the audience, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I've never seen so many people dressed as Paul Weller. It was like a Paul Weller Stars in Their Eyes convention. I'm not joking, right? A
certain, Mont galore.
It was a certain age of man, yeah, right? I'll be honest, in their 40s, I'm going to say, right, who had the haircut. I mean, these are people who've genuinely gone to get the haircut and said, can you do it like Paul Weller with a straight face?
Yeah.
Right? And honestly, they, and some of them looked exactly, I was urinating, right? And I mean, in the toilet, not like just on the floor, right? And a man came next to me for a wee, and I thought it was, a glance, you know the glance you do at the urinal? I mean, it's just a glance, isn't it? Not, I mean, not downstairs, I mean, up, right? But I genuinely thought Paul Weller was having a wee. Now, I was up, I'm having a wee next to Paul Weller. Looked up. I wasn't. I was having a wee next to a stalky lookalike of Paul Weller. It was. Then I looked. It was like the Stepford Wives or something. It was, but with mods.
Wellers everywhere.
The Stepford mods. There were Wellers. Everyone had Wellers hair. It was weird as hell.
They all used straighteners and hair sprays at home.
Most of the country's hair straighteners purchases. The people who bought them were in that room last night. I can tell you, it was weird. So I hung out. I went backstage and met the great man. Himself, who had obviously, I mean, it got to be the weirdest experience for him sitting on that sofa and looking out at himself. Just doesn't. Must have been.
It's like being John Malkovich.
It was exactly like that. It was so weird. But he was very nice, very charming. Of course, it's Paul Weller. Why wouldn't he be? He's been on this show before a couple of times. Of course, what a nice man. However, then of course Kelly Jones. So this is what happened. Kelly Jones then arrived, right? And this is going to sound a bit showy. He's like, no, but you know, it's Kelly Jones. I love Kelly Jones. John across the thing came over, gave me a great big hug. Kelly Jones, right, and then introduced me to his wife, who was with him, who was called Jackie, and she's lovely. And he said, "Oh, you haven't met my wife. This is Jackie. This is John. He does the breakfast show on XFM." And then she said, "Absolutely love to meet you, John. We listen every morning, Kelly and I. We listen to you every morning. And how amazing to meet me. How long?" And I'm going, "No, amazing to meet you." And then she said, which was the damning moment. She just did that thing of taking a little step back, and she went. And she looked me up and down, and she went, "You don't look like I thought." And you know that moment when, and then you think she's going to say, "You look much better," or something. Yeah. And I said, jokingly, I went, "Well, so presumably I'm much, much better than you thought." And she went, I sort of got pooned, as the kids say, by Kelly Jones' wife Jackie there.
At least I suppose you look quite tall standing next to Kelly there.
Well, that was the advantage I had, to be fair.
If you like this podcast, why not check out some of the other great ones available to download at xfm.co.uk. XFM. Josh Widdicombe.
Still joined by Neil with a massive Lucozade.
Yeah.
And John Richardson. Hello.
With a small water.
Small water.
Says it all, doesn't it?
I mean, if we'd played match the drink.
Wow.
Right, now, the topic of today is things you've bought drunkenly online. I imagine you've done this.
Yeah, I frequently do it. I went through a period when I lived in Swindon and I was drinking quite heavily. As you do. Those two things tend to go together. The worst incident I had was that I was watching Closer, you know, the Clive Owen. Based on the
sexually charged film.
Yeah. Oh, there's just one scene in it which is just exquisite, where for someone who's single and bitter, they're both
at the time,
they've both cheating on each other, but they both want the upper hand, and it's Clive Owen and Julia Roberts. And he's goading her because she's got the moral high ground, and you can tell he's desperate, and then she eventually loses it and he says something horrific. And it's like, you can hear it, it's like a popping sound. It's such a pure moment of hatred. that I was watching it, I got really excited. I was like, I'm going to buy this on DVD. So I bought it and then realised I was already watching it on DVD. I just got so excited.
Music. Music. It rocks. XFM.